Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words, your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Please be seated. It's not always apparent by the size of my waist, but I'm still running. Many of you know that I run, and a good week is 18 miles. A slow week during the heat of the summer is only 9, but I am still running. And I have a favorite shirt when I run. It was a gift from someone many years ago who was traveling and sailing around the BVI. And he brought back a t-shirt and that reflects it's from the BVI, and it says on it, "The beatings will continue until morale improves." Now, that's not particularly appropriate for a pastor to wear, I know. It's more a salty sea saying, but still a favorite t-shirt. Well, for about the last 60 days, I've noticed that this t-shirt, every time I put it on to go for a run, has an unusual odor about it. And by the time that I finish my run, it's even stronger and more unique. And I've wondered what this is all about. Like, did we change detergents? Did something? What gives? What gives? So for a couple of months, I've been noticing this. And I finally figured out a couple of weeks ago that it's sour. Have any of you ever had a towel go sour? This is a t-shirt that's gone sour. And it's got the grime and the grit of years of running in it built up. And somewhere along the way, I probably threw it in a pile of clothes and it didn't get washed for days. And now you can't get the stench out. No matter how much it's washed, no matter how many sheets of Bounce you throw in the dryer, the t-shirt stinks. It's not fit for running any longer. As Paul's talking to the Colossians, he's talking about clothing that is no longer fit for the redeemed person. He's talking about something that bears the dirt and the grime and the sweat of many years of life that is not honoring to God. And he says to us, it's time to take it off and to put something else on. It's no longer useful to us or useful to God. Let's take a look at Colossians over these next 2 weeks and see if that bears meaning, that we have clothes that we often wear that need to be discarded. We pick up in 3, just a little bit before our public reading this morning. 3:1. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Paul is setting the stage. It's one of his famous "since then" statements. It's a therefore statement, an if-then statement, if you are a mathematician, that if this is true, then this should be true as well. Remember, last week we talked about the fact that we are redeemed in Christ Jesus and Him alone, that we can't add to that, and we shouldn't allow anyone, including the church, to put burdens upon us and make us feel guilty as if they are required to earn favor with God. God favors us. It's His choice, His election. He does it, and we don't have to do anything to earn it. In fact, we can't do anything to earn it. As I say to my children, especially to Mary over the years, you can't do anything to make me love you more. You can't make me do anything to love you less. That's what God is saying to us. He simply loves those of us that He's created. That is the story of our redemption. Since then, if you've been raised with Christ, if God's acted upon you, if God has acted in your life and restored you to a right relationship with Him through Jesus, then this is what follows. This is the kind of life you should live, to which you should aspire. This is the bar that He sets and then empowers us to achieve by His Holy Spirit. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That was reflected in the gospel as well, wasn't it? It's so tempting in life to spend our time amassing possessions, things that we cannot take with us when we go. Amassing possessions such that we need to build bigger barns to hold all of the things that we have acquired. We talked in the past about this booming industry of off-site storage, of all the places where that have been constructed so that the things that will no longer fit in our houses, we can store somewhere else. It's true in the last 100 years that the average home has increased from 1,000 square feet to 2,000 square feet. So it's true of us. It is tempting. It's always before us. A desire to set our minds upon earthly things. That is what we acquire, such that we have to build bigger barns, rather than on heavenly things, which is what Paul was talking about so much last week. Do not confuse that which is material with that which is spiritual. Circumcision and baptism that do not reflect surgery on the heart, that do not reflect a cleansing of the heart, are of no use to God or to us. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Warren Wiersbe tells a great story of these two sisters who loved to go out partying and dancing together. They lived rather licentious lives until they came to faith in Jesus. And they got one of their regular invitations to a party, and they RSVP'd. They said, "Sorry, we cannot come. We recently died." God is calling us to die. To die to the old life that we lived. And Paul speaks as he sets the context for this taking off and putting on. He sets the context for what life is like. It's now hidden with Christ in God. We were once animated by things that all the world could see, but now we live a life that is animated by God. He is within us, calling us to this new place, this higher bar, if you will, and it's not apparent to the world. Many people can't even understand it because they can't see the God who is at work in us. It is hidden. It is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, who is your life, who animates you, who gives you breath, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. That is, as Christ returns, it'll be obvious those in whom He dwells. It'll be there for all the world to see. That is the context. Not to confuse that which is material with that which is spiritual, that which is earthly with that which is heavenly. We are called heavenward. And our life will reflect that, hidden now to many people, but animated by Christ. It's that good thing that calls us to a new life. He goes on in verse 5, where we picked up this morning in our public reading. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death, therefore, these things. Put to death, that is, kill, destroy, perhaps discard this old garment that Paul's going to get to in just a moment. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, that word there could be translated for us fornication. It's general sexual impurity, if you will. He goes on to list other things that set the trap even higher. If it's not apparent that these are clothes that we once wore, we should see it because it includes not just acting on our lust, that is sexual immorality, but lust itself and evil desires. And if that doesn't catch us up in the web of things that he mentions, he goes to greed, which is idolatry. That word greed, fairly reflected in what we heard in the gospel, that desire to achieve more, own more, and so much so that we have to build bigger barns to hold it. It's that word that describes never being satisfied with what we have, always wanting more. If he didn't get us in the first few words, he's managed to ensnare us with that word, greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. These things alienate us from God. They cause his anger to be aroused at his people because we are not living according to his will. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. That was the way that we used to be before we were redeemed, the since then. Now we live a different life. But now you must rid yourselves. Rid yourselves. Separate yourself from of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not overlook what Paul's done here in that first series of words he has talked about, that which is sensual and that which is personal, things that you might engage in to satisfy yourself. But there's always a social component to the morality that God lays out before his people. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger. That is, that ongoing frustration. That ongoing frustration with someone. With wrath or rage, as it's translated in the NIV. That is, that immediate burst of anger that's so off-putting and offensive and even threatening to people. Those things have to come off, Paul says. Slander. One translation of the word slander is blasphemy, to speak untruths about someone in such a way that it tears them down before other people. Malice, to have an ill attitude toward someone else. And of course, filthy language, which is that comes from our lips, which is spoken in a public environment to offend the ears of others. Paul has moved from that which is sensual and personal to that which is social and corporate. Involves everyone around. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. I would say that the list, like all lists, includes some things that impact us and some things that don't. But in the end, somewhere along the way, the old life that he speaks of, our old life, includes one of these things. He goes on to say, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self. There, Paul is using the word to describe someone dressing or undressing himself. And that is the image that he wants us to see, that there is this garment that we often wear around ourselves that is soiled by the grime, the grit, the sweat of the life that we've lived. And we are meant to take that off. And of course, we know from other passages that God's willing to help us do that. It's not something that we do by our own power, but he wants to rid us of that garment with which we wrap ourselves. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, a new set of clothes, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. One of the things that we are recovering, I think, in these days in the life of the church is that the primary emphasis of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it is to transform us into the likeness of God, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. We're being transformed in such a way by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're putting on clothes like God would wear himself. So we'll be more like him. He goes on to say, here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. He's talking about how there's no distinction among Christians any longer. The worldly doesn't apply. You can't separate us into categories because Christ is all, that is, he is above all things, and he is in all, every Christian who professes Christ, Christ dwells in him or her. And so no distinction that is earthly is of any value to the Christian community. So we hear Paul laying this out, and we'll take up the verses that follow next week where he talks about putting on, that is, clothing ourselves with something. But now he's talking about taking something off, disrobing, if you will, undressing, if you will. And so we look at this week what it is that we have to take off, next week what it is that we put on. This week we look at the negative, if you will, the old way of life. Next week the positive, that which the Holy Spirit is transforming us into, the image to which we are being restored. So how shall we look at Paul? How shall we apply this to our lives? To put off in order that we might take on. Well, what I want to say to you about old clothes, favorite clothes, is that they're hard to get rid of. How many of you have something old that you really like that you've had for years? How many of you have a t-shirt or something, a favorite pair of shoes that's older than 5 years? Anyone 10? 15? Yeah, I see hands going up. You haven't lived that long. You can't have something 15 years old. Come on, Glenn. I've got a pair of wingtips. I'm certain they're 25 years old. They're just now getting comfortable. We keep those favorite things that we like to wear around ourselves. That t-shirt that stinks, I've kept it all these weeks. I don't want to part with it. It has sentimental value because of the person who gave it to me. It has value beyond that. And I don't want to get rid of it. But today, when I finished my run, I took that garment off first and I tossed it in the trash. There's no sense in wasting any more Tide on it, any more bounce on it. It's not going to ever smell good again. We are reluctant to let go of that garment that we wear, and Christ knows that. Think about this. Paul is speaking to Colossians who've been redeemed in Christ Jesus. He's already seen fruit in their lives, evidence that Jesus is there, and yet they continue to wear that which is old, that which is sensual and personal, and that which is social and impacts other people. And he's calling us to take it off, to let it go. I would encourage us to be very practical about this. There is not in any sense, it's hard to imagine that for any one of us that all of these things apply. But I would say to you, it's also hard to imagine that in the old garment that we wear, that for all of us, not one of these things applies, that one of them must. And I would encourage us as we go through the week to be very practical about what it is that Paul's asking us to take off and to take it off. And so we might do well just to look at the list. And if we didn't get ensnared in that which is sensual and personal, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, maybe we got caught up in greed, that sense of never being satisfied, of always wanting to possess more, which is idolatry, to replace God with something else that fulfills us. Perhaps we can choose one from that list, but maybe not. The next list is probably much more ensnaring. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its Creator. Let us look at that list. Reflect honestly upon it and ask ourselves, have any of those things been evident in our life in the last day, in the last week, in the last month? And to ask ourselves, why is it that we want to continue to wear clothes that are soiled, that have the grit and the grime of many years of living and stink beyond reason? And then ask God to give us the grace to take it off, to disrobe, to undress, that He might clothe us with something else. That's the practical implication. Look at the clothes that we wear. Let us find in them the things that offend, that are a part of the old life that he seeks to renew. And to lay them down, take them off, and when necessary, even toss them in the trash. That by the grace of God, and we might appreciate the new garment that he wants to put on. The righteousness which with he wants to clothe us, that righteousness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. And to wear this glorious garment that's fit for running, that's fit for life, that's fit for heaven, not for earth, but things godly and heavenwardly. Apply that to your life. I should apply it to mine this week. Laying down that which is old, taking off that which is old, in preparation to put on that which is new. Amen.